Hi, good Vach and good Erev Pesach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are getting ready to leave Mitzrayim. That's right. And along with it, we have Shabbos. That's right. We have Shabbos and Pesach. And also, it's a Shemitah year, which is pretty remarkable. All three happening at once. It's pretty amazing. So I'm not sure how many of you are around, as you know, it's Zman Bedika. But if you are listening, I appreciate your time. And of course, you know, you might be listening to this in the future on SheerEnjoyment.com. Please make sure to visit SheerEnjoyment.com for so many fascinating Sheerim. Before I start today, the Sheer, once again, is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala, by Benachem Mendel, Meher Nesham, and Haven Aliyah. Now, perhaps one of the most fascinating people I've heard speak about Pesach, many, many different inyanim, is Rav Ben Shushan, specifically the father of Ari Ben Shushan. There are many Rav Ben Shushans. They're all related, and they're all amazing. It's an amazing, amazing, inspiring family with great wisdom and great Torah. This Rav Ben Shushan, or Ari Ben Shushan, I should say, takes a lot of his wisdom from Rav Berkowitz, whom he quotes repeatedly, and he gives many, many shiurim on Pesach every year. And one of the things he spoke about a few years ago was the notion that oppression made the Jewish people stronger. Obviously, we wished it wasn't necessary, but it showed that we were resilient and we had this test in Mitzrayim that we were able to endure the slavery in a certain sense. We came as 70 people, and despite being slaughtered, beaten, and demoralized, we grew exponentially in number. Now, this was perhaps most symbolized by the Makkah of Tzfardea, which some translate as crocodiles or alligators, but almost everybody translates it as frogs, right? The Midrash states that it began as one frog, and every time an Egyptian hit it, it multiplied into more and more and more frogs. They hit those, multiplied even further. Everything the Midrash did to try and get rid of the frogs only made it worse. Now, a frog or a toad can be thick-skinned, especially if, imagine something like a bullfrog, which have very thick glands and skin, everything like that. They are hardy creatures that can proliferate and endure in many conditions, although some are more sensitive. And the word tzfardeia is actually a very intriguing word that is unlike any other Semitic words, if it even is, in fact, Semitic in nature. There are some thoughts that it's Hebrew in nature, but as it's been studied more and more, it does seem to have a lot more possibilities that it is a hybrid Semitic root. The explanation I'm going to give you is only one of many possible explanations, and there's been a lot of debate over its origin. It's very, very rare that we have a root that is five letters, and certainly without a repeating pattern, like Mesharsher, which is actually really, it's only four letters. So interestingly enough, in many Semitic languages, including Arabic, Aramaic, and Syriac, the word for frog is pretty similar. And it's possible that the Iker, the main root of this, comes from Tzafar, Tzadi Pei Resh, which means to rise or to go up. Now we see this in the word Tzipor, meaning a bird, which is something which flies up, flies across, etc., as well as the Aramaic word for morning, which is Tzafra. I believe I even saw another example recently, but I apologize, I don't recall what it was. On a simple level, frogs abound and leap. They leap upwards, right, from wherever they come from. They jump and spring with their powerful hind legs and jump upwards. They come, you know, pond or vegetation, whatever it is. So this notion of tzafar, of jumping up, of rising up. The last two letters of dalid and ayin, the suffix, could either possibly be from the root of yada, meaning to know, as in the creature that is known to go up. So tzfardea would be that creature which is known to go up. Of course, I guess that obviously certainly could be locusts as they jump, but many also fly. Whereas frogs certainly do not fly. They only are known for their leaping. In fact, they can also, they're very good at catching prey while they're like flies and such and other bugs while they're mid-leap, which is pretty cool. Another possibility that the Dalet Ayin could be from Da'ach, Dalet Ayin Chaf, and the biliteral part of that, which is indirectly related to Yodea, which I'm not going to get into now. And Da'ach means to go out or to be extinguished. If it means Yodea, meaning to know, it's known that a frog goes from a lower place and then once it abounds and leaps to a higher place, right? A frog is a creature that did not can face adversity, such as a tadpole swimming around, has many, many predators freely swimming in an aquatic environment, but, you know, it's very small. And it goes through a metamorphosis and has to adapt to new environments and challenges. Alternatively, if you were to talk about the da'ach root, which means to go out, we're going to, again, it could be to go out or to extinguish. In this case, go out doesn't mean to venture out. It means to go out as in like to put out a fire. In this particular case, it would, actually, I don't have a very good explanation for it, but it is a possibility. I'm going to be sticking with the first possibility, which is the fact that it's related to yodea, meaning know, or da, meaning knowledge. But more importantly, it's that which is known to go up. It's that which is known to change from its adversity, from the small little tadpole, and metamorphosize, something which we don't see by many creatures. And we see by salamanders, which, you know, are also amphibians. There's certain lizards, and then, of course, butterflies and moths, obviously go through a metamorphosis. But the majority of creatures do not go through a metamorphosis. They don't usually stage. But what's interesting about a frog is that not only does it have a metamorphosis, but it actually goes through two separate environments. It goes, at least for most frogs, it goes from an aquatic environment to a terrestrial or land environment, and therefore has to adapt to a whole new set of challenges. The Jewish people also went through a metamorphosis in Mitzrayim. They came in as a family and left as a nation, an Am. They had to face adversity, but they prevailed. Now, it's interesting, the word tzvardeya, frog, is numerically equivalent to mekadesh, which is, means to make holy or to transform. It's something that transforms to become something that distinct. Something which is by definition distinct or becomes distinct is by definition kadosh. As the plague by Egyptians was not one frog, but many frogs, then you have tzvardeim. Now tzvardeim, in addition to being mekadshim, obviously, those who sanctify or those who become holy, can also be retransposed to become mishakadim, right? Which we see with respect to ripening of almonds, and it just generally means like quick or early. But it ultimately comes from this idea of these almond blossoms, which are very quick to root. Now, interesting, when we actually see the onset of the, right before we see the onset of the plague, we see Aaron with his staff, turning into serpents. But we also see his staff much later in Sefer Bamidbar, where it actually blossoms with the almond blossoms. And the Chazal explained that almond is the fastest tree to blossom. It's a very quick moment. It suddenly blossoms and appears from nothing. They have a soft, fleshy exterior that seems vulnerable, but there's a hard nut inside. And it's the hard, durable interior that people desire, and also that endures. It's well known that anybody tries to grow almonds that they prefer a hot, harsh summer. They specifically thrive through difficult conditions. That's the best way to grow an almond. And so true the Jewish people. We're able to not only survive, but we can band together and become stronger when persecuted. Obviously, we don't want persecution, but it has the ability, kind of like the Mitzrayim, the iron crucible, right? We have the ability to use those difficulties, and that's part of the lesson of the Maror, too, to use those difficulties to forge a stronger bond and make us stronger. That we can be like this for a day. We can be the people that rise up and endure seemingly everything that history has thrown at us. Countless times our enemies have tried to extinguish us, and perhaps that somehow is related to that other Dalet Ayin root of Da'ach that I mentioned. Not sure exactly how. But we've managed to get up and prevail. We are stronger when we're together, and unfortunately it often takes oppression and difficulty for us to realize who we truly are, to remember that we're Yidden, that we have an amazing, amazing connection to Hashem, and we have an important role to play. But we don't want this reminder. We don't have to have this reminder. It's often extremely necessary. But if we get our act together and we find a way to get to Hashem through Ahava, and we find a way to unify ourselves, then we can rise ourselves up on our own merits, and then we can bring Mashiach as speedily as an almond tree blossoms. So wishing you all a good Shabbos and an amazing Asher v'Sameach Pesach Tov.